Our scripture reading tonight is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And from Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we're overwhelmed by your majesty. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. God, and as we share your word together, we long for you not to just give us head knowledge, God, but to press your word into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, we would love for you tonight to do whatever it is you want to or need to do in our hearts and our lives as we come before you, God. So open our ears, Lord, that we would hear you speak through your word. Lord, that we would see your glory and that we would be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been using these Thursdays in Lent to take a look kind of verse by verse, sometimes phrase by phrase, at the Lord's Prayer, which is so familiar to so many of us, but sometimes becomes just this thing we say by rote. And so we've been trying to just stop and pause and let God really press the reality of what this prayer is saying and what Jesus is teaching us to pray through this prayer. If you were here last week, you know, we took the phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sometimes it's forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. All sorts of translations, but the same thought. We divided that phrase in half because I just felt like it was too much for us to do in 1 week. So last week we talked about praying, Lord, forgive us our sins. And today we come to, as Paul reminded us as he shared last week, a really uncomfortable verse. And again, for so many years we've said it by rote, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we stop and pause and listen to that, we realize it's a hard verse. And it's sometimes it's hard for us to understand. And so one of the ways we read the scripture, especially when it comes to hard verses, is we always let scripture interpret itself. So always look at what that verse is saying in the context of what the whole of scripture is saying. And we always look at hard verses through the lens that God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. So as we look at forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us, as we forgive our debtors, we as Paul reminded us last week, we stop and we take a pause. Like basically we're asking God to forgive us the same way we forgive other people. I don't know about you, that makes me a little nervous. And we wonder almost if we're saying if God can't forgive us if we don't forgive. And again, this is where it comes really important for us to look at Scripture in the context of Scripture, because we know that our justification, our forgiveness, our right standing, if you will, with God, comes only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. And in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we stand righteous and we stand forgiven. That's how God forgives us, through Jesus' blood. And so we can kind of start going off the rails a little bit and saying, wow, us forgiving other people is the condition for our having eternal forgiveness in Jesus, and that's contrary to what the scripture teaches. But Jesus is saying something important here. He's saying it matters the effect that God's working has in our life. We've talked about it before. You know, we believe some things in our head. You know, theology is wonderful. We believe these great thoughts. But until God presses them into our heart, they're just that, good thoughts. And then until God takes them from our heart and presses them into our life, that's the process of sanctification. And Jesus makes it clear throughout actually all of the scriptures that there's this sort of circular thing that happens, that God's working in our life causes some change in us. And so we're loved by God and we love. Like Abraham, we're blessed by God, and so we're a blessing. So we bless other people. We've received from God's generous grace, and so we freely and lavishly give to other people. God has comforted us in our distress, and so we therefore, with that same comfort, comfort other people. And so there's the same circular thing that happens, that forgiven by God, then what comes out of us needs to be forgiveness. We need to be able to forgive. John makes the point several times in his epistles. James makes it very clearly in his letter that if we have understood the forgiveness of God, if we have understood the grace of God, it commands a response from us. As God cleanses us from unrighteousness, as he saves us, as he reconciles us back into relationship with him, as his Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, something happens to us. Jesus says to us, come to me just as you are. And then as we come to him, he starts to transform us. And that's why I really wanted to focus on last week, our prayers of confession and understanding God's complete forgiveness for us. Because I think sometimes when we've been Christians for a really long time, or we've lived lives that compared to lots of other people we know haven't been that bad, in quotes, we lose sight of what it is that God has forgiven us from. And so it's so important that we go back to that. It's one of the things I love about the way the church year works. We go through Advent, we go through Christmas, we go through Epiphany, and then we come to Lent, and it just redirects us to the cross. It brings us back to that place, standing on level ground, desperately in need of the grace of God that we find in the poured out blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. We preach the gospel to ourselves throughout the church year again and again and again. And we do that because we need to hear the gospel again and again and again. We need to be reminded of who we are. We need to be reminded of our need for God. We need to remind ourselves of God's amazing grace and his forgiveness. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 18 about a king who wanted to settle up his accounts. And so one of his servants was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents of gold. Now, talents, we don't really understand always what a talent is. And some translations say like bags of gold. But here's the reality. A talent was worth about 20 years of a day laborer's wage. One talent, 20 years of a day laborer's wage, and this servant owed the king 10,000 talents. There's no way he would ever be able to pay it back. And so he comes before the king, and the king's ready to settle up the debt, and he says to the king, be patient with me, master, because the tradition would be that this man and his whole family would be sold as servants to pay off this debt. And so he falls on the mercy of this king, and he says, be patient with me. And the king has mercy on him, and he forgives this huge debt. And the servant, walking out from that experience of having that huge debt that you would never be able to pay. It's like if you had $500,000 in credit card debt, right? Can you even imagine? $500,000 in credit card debt, and the credit card company said, you know what? You're good. Don't worry about it. Just write it off. That's what that's like. After that experience, He comes across a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, which is a silver coin, which is equal to about one day's wage for a laborer. So 100 silver coins versus 10,000 talents of gold. And he grabs the servant. He chokes him, Matthew tells us, or Jesus tells us, actually, Matthew records it, and says, pay me what you owe me. And the servant says almost word for word the same thing that this servant said to the king. And that was, just be patient with me. I'll pay you back. And so instead of responding the way the king does, this servant has this man's family sold and put into slavery. And the word gets back to the king, who is so angry with this man. He says, you wicked servant. You know, how could you, after having been forgiven so much, how could you not just forgive this little debt? It's a harsh story. And yet, Jesus told it for a reason, and we need to hear it. We lose sight of the fact that we had $500,000 in credit card debt with God. We lose sight of that. We think all the little broken pieces of me aren't that bad. Jesus, as he's teaching us the Lord's Prayer in the entire Sermon on the Mount, this kind of comes right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, but in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things Jesus does, as well as kind of announce the proclamation of his kingdom and the way his kingdom works, is he shows us, and he shows the Pharisees at the time, exactly what it looks like to follow the rules, exactly what it looks like to be righteous in the eyes of the law, to be, if you will, good enough, right, in God's eyes. He says this, you know, you've heard it says in the law, don't commit adultery. He said, but I'm telling you this, gentlemen, you look at a woman with lust, you're guilty. You know, the law says don't murder, but I'm telling you now, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. Jesus stretched out what the law really means, because God's just not concerned about us getting a little bit of behavior lined up. God's concerned about our hearts. And we think about that outside of the grace of Jesus, being left with the fact that God will forgive us the same way we forgive other people, and it makes us want to run. It makes us so thankful that one of the first things Jesus said from the cross was this, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And that kind of forgiveness has to have some effect in our lives. Here's the problem for us, is that forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness always costs somebody something. Forgiveness cost Jesus his life. And when we forgive people, it costs us something to forgive. But God invites us to forgive because he knows it is deadly, deadly for us to carry that kind of burden around. And sometimes we carry those burdens around for years, and it's deadly to us. Paul says it in Ephesians. He's like, get rid of all that garbage, bitterness and anger and all kinds of malice. Get rid of it. Don't carry it around. And be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving one another the very same way God in Jesus forgave you. The problem is, again, God's not concerned about our words as much as he's concerned about our heart. So it's easy to talk about forgiveness. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I forgive them. But what Jesus wants, and he even says it at the end of that parable about the king and the servants, he said that God's desire is us to forgive one another in our hearts. There's a lot of misconception about forgiveness. Let me tell you a couple things forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not saying that what happened to you was not terrible. You know, sometimes when we're forgiving people, we say things like, oh, it's okay. You know, it's nothing. There are people in my life, there are people in your life, and people in our lives who have hurt us, who have done damage to us. And sometimes those people are people who loved us, or people who were supposed to love us. And that's not nothing. People in this room, we've suffered abandonment. We've suffered abuse, some of us. We'd suffered cruelty. We'd suffered angry or nasty words that have planted themselves in our heart. People's anger and their neglect and their meanness sometimes have defined us, who we are. That's not nothing. And when we are forgiving people, we are not saying, oh, there wasn't any pain. That's part of the idea of that forgiveness costs us something, is that it is pain. People did hurt us. We did sustain damage. We do sometimes carry baggage around. That's why we cannot possibly fully forgive from our hearts without God's help. The wonder is that God never asks us to do anything that he does not equip us for. So when we read throughout the scriptures the importance of forgiving, we have to know that God is going to give us through his Spirit the power to do something that's divine. I mean, we toss that saying around all the time, to err is human, to forgive is divine. But to forgive is divine. God is behind that, empowering us, moving in us to be able to do that. I believe as we are in process that forgiveness is a process. I mean, it's not a process to forgive something small. But to forgive something big, it's a process. And sometimes we have to let God keep stirring our hearts, keep breaking our hearts, keep bringing it to our attention. It's one of the reasons it's so important for us to pray, God, is there something you need to deal with in my heart? That's a scary prayer sometimes, because usually there's something God wants to deal with in our hearts. That's the process of sanctification. He's always got something to deal with in our hearts. But it's why we need to keep going before him and say, God, you need to do something in my heart. And sometimes what God will point out to us that he needs to do in our heart is he needs to help us forgive somebody, to let go of something that we've been holding on to. Because, again, here's the reality. We need to forgive because what God is doing is God's planting his character in us. And God is forgiving. And he wants to plant his very character in us, that we reflect his goodness and his glory and who he is. And we can't manufacture that on our own. We have to let him do that in us, and we have to be able to respond to what it is he wants to do. And we pray, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus knows that not only is his character to forgive, but he knows that unforgiveness, again, I said it before, is deadly to us. Carrying around bitterness and anger and unforgiveness destroys us. And, you know, so often we're holding unforgiveness or anger or bitterness towards somebody who is totally oblivious to the fact that they've hurt us. Or sometimes, as I've had happen in my life, we're carrying around anger and bitterness and unforgiveness to somebody who's dead. And we're still holding on. We're still letting them define us. We're still giving them this power over our lives. And Jesus says, I want to set you free. Sometimes we start out just praying, God, help me want to forgive. Sometimes we have to pray, God, help me want to forgive. Because when we forgive, what we're doing is we're letting go. We're letting go to things that we hold on to. Because sometimes we find our identity in the fact that we've been hurt, or we've been abandoned, or we're a victim, or we've been unloved, or whatever it is. And as we forgive people, we are letting go of not only that baggage, but that identity. We are letting go of that broken part of us and assuming the identity of who we are, and that is children of God. That no matter what our biological families or friends or people we deal with have done to us or said to us, the truest thing about us is that we are loved by God. that we are precious in his sight, that he died to make a way for us to be in relationship for him. And as we follow him, he longs to set us free from the things that hold us back. Set us free from the things that sometimes pass on from generation to generation to generation to generation. And he longs by his Spirit to set us free, to help us to forgive. I don't know what your struggle is. I know the experience I've had in my life of having my father, who was an alcoholic, abandon us when I was probably 11 years old, and I was my father's favorite, and so when he left, I was just so angry. I just wrote him off. I hated my dad for a lot of years of my life. And I got to see my dad briefly before he died and at least say goodbye, but I didn't really make peace. I mean, it broke my heart to see my dad so broken by cancer, but I still didn't really forgive him. And it wasn't until a few years after that when I was actually taking a counseling course when it came to the place where in my heart, God gave me the power to really forgive him, to realize that it wasn't that my dad didn't love me. It was that my dad was incapable of loving me the way I wanted him to love me. He couldn't have done it because of his own life choices, because of his own brokenness. You know, sometimes that's the first step in learning to forgive someone, is to ask God to give you new eyes to see that person with. Because sometimes the meanest, most awful people that we've ever dealt with in our lives are so incredibly broken. I'm going to say always the mean, angry, abusive people we've met in our lives are so broken themselves. And if we let God let us see those people with his eyes, he will give us compassion for people that sometimes we have hated, people we have held grudges against. When I was finally able to forgive my dad, not just say it, when I was really able to forgive him, the most amazing thing happened to me in the middle of my tears and slobbering prayer, just giving it to God, just saying the words, I forgive you. I was flooded with, no lie, hundreds of memories of my dad. When I was a little girl, playing games with me, buying me ice cream, just singing me songs in the shower. So many beautiful memories of times when my dad really did love me that my anger and my hate and my unforgiveness just blotted out. I just couldn't see it. So God not only freed me from that burden, God not only in the middle of my brokenness reminded me that he's the father to the fatherless. That even if my earthly father let me go, he never did. And he never would. On top of all of that, he allowed me to see a beautiful side of my father. So God's about reconciliation and redemption and forgiveness. And he invites us not just to know that in our heads, but to experience that in our lives. So again, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if you have hurts from long ago. I don't know if you're in the middle of dealing with hurtful situations right now. I don't know if your parents have let you down or your grandparents have let you down or your children have let you down. I don't know if you're angry at your siblings or if you've had issues with other people in your life. I don't know if maybe the person you need to forgive is yourself because you're so disappointed in some of the life choices you've made. You're so disappointed in the way you're acting. It's part of forgiving others too, is forgiving ourselves. Maybe even you need to forgive God because maybe you're angry at him for the way something unfolded in your life or because something that you think possibly he did or because you've just lost the lens to look at God, that he's good and that he loves you. But whatever it is, I really invite you to pray with me tonight. Let's just take a couple minutes and ask God. You know, you might know what you have. It might be right on your heart. But let's just ask God to bring to our mind if there's something in our life that's weighing us down, that he's telling us to get rid of, to give to him, somebody that we need to forgive. And if you don't feel like there's anybody like that in your life, praise God for that and just pray for the people around you. Let's pray. Lord God, you know our hearts. You've numbered our days. Lord, you have walked with us through every moment of our life, even before we knew you, even before we knew you were there. So would you, in your love and your grace, as you hold us close, God, would you just show us somebody or somebodies, Lord, that we're just holding on to unforgiveness toward? Somebody or somebodies or even some life circumstance, God, that you're just asking us to forgive. God, if that person is ourself, would you just show us that too? And God, if we're maybe even angry with you without even knowing it, could you show us that too in these quiet moments? Lord, we want to be like you, God. We can't do without you. So we ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to give us the strength and the courage maybe that we need to let go of whatever we've been holding on to so tightly, God. Our hate, our sense of injustice, our sense of being wronged, our sense of being a victim, our anger, our bitterness, God. We're just asking you to give us the strength to unclench our hand, to put down that identity, that false identity that we've built for ourselves, and to put it into your hands. God, anger and hate and bitterness and unforgiveness are way too big of a burden for us to carry on our own, and we're tired and we're worn out from trying to do it. So God, could you carry it for us tonight? Could you give us a glimpse of the person that we've been so angry at, that we've been unable to forgive? Could you give us a glimpse of that person through your eyes as somebody who also has been battered by life, somebody who else hasn't been loved the way they've longed to be loved, but somebody, God, who's loved by you, somebody that you gave your life for? Would you give us new, fresh eyes to see that person, even if that person is already gone, Lord? Would you give us fresh eyes? And Lord, would you help us say the words tonight, not just words, but truly and deeply from our hearts, God. Would you help us say those words? I forgive you. I'm choosing to let it go. And I'm receiving instead, God, your wholeness and your love. Lord, wrap me in my belovedness tonight, that I'm loved by you. That you're more than enough for any hurt that I have. God, hold our very hearts in your hands today and touch them with your healing power. God, release us from what's been holding us back, that we could walk in the fullness of being children of God. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We thank you that you are more than enough for us and that you give us your strength to do impossible things. And so we trust you tonight. And God, if we need to get up tomorrow morning and say, I forgive you, to that person all over again, would you prick our memories? Would you remind us of that, Lord? That we would keep forgiving, God, until it becomes real for us, until that burden is gone. Thank you, Jesus, that when you set us free, we are free indeed. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in your grace. Amen.